Kellogg's Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the build-up wheat cereal with the prize in every package, invites you to share another thrilling adventure with Mark Trail.
Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains. Mark Trail!
It is midnight in a small town in the northwest, and while the rest of the town sleeps, two men working in the hooded gleam of a flashlight crouch near a huge safe.
This is going to be easy. Hand me the nitroglycerin, Claude.
Yeah, but be careful with it.
Yeah, sure. Now when I pour the soup in the hole I drilled, you plug it with the wax so the soup won't run out.
Right.
That's it. We can touch her off now.
Okay, but let's get everything straight first. You have to work fast after the blast.
You're telling me.
When the safe's open, you grab the engineering survey and spread it out on the desk. Then I'll shoot pictures of it with this camera while you empty the safe of all cash and bonds.
Uh-huh. Make it look like a straight robbery.
Right. Then we'll put the survey back and clear out fast with everything we want to know.
I've got it. You all set now?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here goes. This'll blast us right into $1,000,000.
$1,000,000 robbery. Sounds like plenty of adventure for Mark Trail.
And say, if you'd like to hit the adventure trail, help build up strength, help build up energy, help build up strong bones and steady nerves with that famous build-up wheat cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Whole wheat in its most delicious form, toasted flakes. That's Kellogg's Pep. Now, everyone knows that no cereal makes you strong as a lumberjack after only one or two servings. But if you take a delicious bowlful of Pep with milk and sugar day after day, it does provide a real powerhouse of food elements needed to build up strength, energy, strong bones, and steady nerves. And without these things, well, how can you hit the adventure trail? Best part of all is that, marvelous malty-flavored Pep has more vitamins than any other ready-to-eat wheat cereal. And mark this, before today's adventure is over, I'll tell you all about the handsome prize that's waiting for you in every package of Pep. Tell you why P-E-P also means prize in every package. Meanwhile, remember, if you want to hit the adventure trail and really feel fit for fun, ask your mother when she goes shopping to bring you a package of Kellogg's Pep. That's Kellogg's Pep!
It is early afternoon, and the hot sun gleaming brightly over the woodlands of the northwest casts a speckled pattern of light and shade on two men and a boy working beneath the trees. Mark Trail, Scotty, and their friend Jim Little are clearing the underbrush and blazing markers on trees, establishing trails through 5,000 acres of forest.
Okay, Mark, I'm up to the fork in the woods.
Right with you, Scotty. How are you doing, Jim?
Finished here, Mark. I'll be up in a second.
Well, how does it look, Mark?
You're going too deep, Scotty. Drawing too much sap. Now, when you mark a tree for trail, just nick the bark and a little bit of the wood.
Oh, sorry, Mark. I'll watch it. But this hatchet is sharp.
Then don't put so much force behind your blows.
This where you think we ought to start another fork in the trail, Mark?
Yes, Jim. Three ways this time. If you look through the woods, you'll see three natural lines of least resistance. Just follow them.
Right.
How many miles of trail have we marked already?
About 30, Scotty.
Not bad for 3 days.
No, but there's a lot more to do. Jim's got about 5,000 acres of land. It should be good for at least 100 miles of trail.
Well, let's start off then.
Okay. Jim, you take the right fork. Scotty, you take the left. Now, same as before, blaze your mark about every 30 to 50 yards. And make a note of the likely-looking campsite.
Check.
Wait a minute. Someone's coming.
Oh?
It's your wife, Jim.
Well, she must have gotten lonesome back at the cabin.
There's somebody with her.
Yeah, I see.
Oh. Whoa, girl. Hello, boys. You said they come a long way.
Oh, we work fast, Mrs. Little.
We sure do.
Sorry, Mr. Davis. I didn't know you were going to have to ride this far.
That's all right, Mrs. Little. Would have come a lot farther to talk to your husband.
Jim, this is Mr. Davis. Told him, frankly, that you wouldn't listen to him, but he wants to see you anyway.
Scotty and I will start the cutting trails.
Oh, you don't have to go, Mark.
I don't want to waste time, Jim. Remember, we can only be up here for a few days, and we want to do as much as we can.
Okay.
Come on, Scotty. Let's start blazing these two other trails.
Right, Mark.
Well, Mr. Davis, what can I do for you?
Mr. Little, I understand you inherited this tract of land about 5 months ago.
That's right, from my grandfather.
You and your wife both come from the city?
Yeah.
Imagine you prefer the comforts of city life to living out here, so I'm prepared to make you an offer for this land.
I'm afraid you've got us wrong, Mr. Davis.
Wrong?
We both loathe city life.
Yeah, the only thing that kept us there was the necessity of making a living.
Well, you can hardly make a living out of this scrub timber and backwoods land.
Well, that's what we thought, too, but my friend Mark Trail, the gentleman who just left, showed us the way.
Oh?
Yes, we're turning our land into a private hiking and camping preserve, Mr. Davis. We're blazing trails all through it, and we're going to charge a small fee for using them.
You'll hardly get rich that way.
Tell you a secret, Mr. Davis. We don't want to.
Not even if you got an offer of $10 an acre? That's the price I'm authorized to give for an option.
Sorry, Mr. Davis, but both Mary and I have been away from the land too long. And now that we're back on it again, we're not going to leave it. Not as long as we can live off it.
Okay, Mr. Little, but if you should change your mind later, if anything should happen to put a crimp in your plans, my offer may not be open then.
Well, I won't lose any sleep over it, Mr. Davis.
Whatever you say, Mr. Little. But remember, nature can be awfully funny sometime. You never can tell what could happen to make this whole 5,000 acres useless for your hiking and camping deal.
You didn't do so good, eh, Red? They won't sell.
No. Where's the photograph of that engineering survey?
In the glove compartment.
Let me see. Stouffer Place, Crandell Place, Johnson Place.
You don't have to go all through it, Red. I can tell you the score right now. We've got options in every piece of land we need but the little place.
And that's a big but. They've got 5,000 acres, more land on the railroads right away than anyone else.
You're positive they won't sell?
They're nature lovers. They're going to turn it into a hiking and camping preserve.
Hiking? Red, we need that land if we're going to jack up the price to the railroad. Without it, we may as well give up this whole deal.
Tell me something new.
What do we do about it?
I'm not sure. That's why I wanted to look at this survey. Now, this piece of land down here in the south, the 100-acre strip to Miller Place, you bought that outright, didn't you?
Yes, $3 an acre. That was way too much.
This hill indicated on the survey, Snake Hill, that just a local name?
A lot more than that. That's why $3 was too much to pay. It's a big, bare, rocky hill crawling with snakes.
Snakes, huh? A lot of them?
Believe me, Red, all the snakes St. Patrick chased out of Ireland landed on that hill.
What kind?
Rattlesnakes, Miller said.
Better and better. Turn around, Claude. I think we'll take a drive down and look at that property of ours.
What for?
I'm not sure, but if an idea I've got works, those snakes might be an open sesame to an option on that little place. Go on, Claude. Head for Snake Hill.
Hey, Jim. Jim Little.
Over here, Mark.
What are you doing there? You're veering off the trail.
Yeah, I know, but I had to... There. Gotcha.
What are you doing, Jim?
Just knocking off a snake.
A snake?
Yeah, a rattler. Killed three of them already. Now every time I hear the brush move, I near jump out of my skin.
Funny, I saw a couple on the trail I was blazing.
You must be getting into pretty thick snake country.
You shouldn't be, though. This is damp and thickly wooded. Isn't the kind of land rattlers are particularly fond of.
Well, fond or not, they're here.
Yeah, so it seems. We'd better stop for now and warn Scotty.
Yeah, he's working trail farther north. There may not be any snakes up that way.
I'd rather not take the chance, Jim. Come on. He should be along here somewhere. He marked trail along the route we laid out.
Well, his markers are pretty clear. Ahead of us somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, wait, there he is. near the edge of that gully.
Hey, he sprawled out on the ground. Something the matter with him?
No, no, Jim. He's grabbing himself a quick catnap.
For a minute, I
thought... Hey, great Scott, Jim, look. Look behind Scotty.
A rattler?
Yes. Less than 6 inches from Scotty's head.
He's calling to strike. Come on, Mark.
No, don't move.
Come on, Mark.
Don't make a sound. You'll scare it into striking.
Well, what are we going to do?
Give me your revolver.
Mark, that's an impossible shot. If you miss, you'll hit Scotty.
I know, Jim, but I've got to take the chance. Scotty may stir in his sleep or wake up any second now. Here goes.
Resting his elbow on the ground, Mark sights down the stubby barrel of the revolver at the slowly weaving head of the deadly rattler. Cold sweat breaks out on his forehead. His fingers tremble. If he should miss... Suddenly, Scotty stirs, and the snake rears back, fangs agape. We'll continue in just a moment. Oh, stand by! What a spot to be in. Only steady nerves and swift action can save the day.
And will they save the day for you after, say, 9 long innings of baseball of catching behind the plate? Suppose your team has a 1-run lead, but with 2 out in the 9th, the other fellows have the bases loaded. Now you signal for a sweeping out curve, and you're glad you've been eating that daily dish of Kellogg's Pep. Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. Wheat in its most delicious form, toasted flakes. Well, here's the windup. And the pitch. Strike 2. 3-2 on the batter. Time to call on the steady nerves, strength, energy, and strong bones that Kellogg's Pep helped you build up. Yes, that daily dish of Pep gives you a real powerhouse of food elements to feel fit for fun. Ah, and this is fun. You signal for the hard, fast one. And here it comes. A sky-high fly. You trot out toward the pitcher's box, signal, and make the catch that ends the game. Yes, it sure pays to enjoy that daily dish of Pep, and pays to remember that P-E-P also stands for prize in every package. I'll be back to tell you all about those wonderful prizes. Meantime, mark this. If you want to feel fit for fun, you want Kellogg's Pep.
Bewildered by the sudden appearance of rattlesnakes on the 5,000 acres of woodland owned by Jim Little and his wife Mary, Mark and Jim head through the woods to warn Scotty and find the boy asleep on the ground, a rattler less than 6 inches from his head, coiled to strike. Afraid to move any closer for fear of scaring the snake into striking, Mark takes careful aim at the reptile's head with Jim's revolver. A miss would be fatal to Scotty. Suddenly, the boy stirs.
Mark! It's going to strike. Shoot quick.
Right.
Great Scott!
You did it, Mark. Blew his head right off.
Hey, what's this? What's the idea, Mark?
Scotty, you okay? You weren't bitten, were you?
Bitten by what?
By that rattler.
Rattler? Oh, my golly, was that thing next to me?
Yes, Scotty. And if Mark hadn't made a perfect shot.
Golly.
Well, steady now.
I'm okay, Mark. Just kind of weak in the knees.
I'll bet.
Now, listen, Scotty. Is this the first snake you've seen around here?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, I saw a couple more while I was cutting out trail.
So they're up in this section of the woods, too, huh?
That's strange.
Doesn't make this a very promising hiking site.
It sure doesn't.
Jim, Scotty, take a look at this snake.
Hey, how can you stand touching it, Mark? They're so slimy.
Not a bit, Jim. They're quite dry and cool to the touch, as a matter of fact. They're sort of leathery.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Well, what about the snake, Mark?
Snakes usually spend their lifetime from birth to death in an area of about 3 to 5 miles. They very rarely travel any farther than that.
So?
Well, nature knows this, Jim, and provides for it. You see, the colorings of a snake conform pretty closely to the area in which it lives. But this one is much lighter than the snake who made his home in these woods would be.
Yeah, he sure is, Mark.
And besides, look, in the tail, the rattle. There are a lot of grains of sand. No sandy areas near here.
What are you driving at, Mark? Had someone brought this snake here?
It's possible. This one and the others we saw.
But golly, why, Mark?
Now you've got me, Scotty.
Well, if that's true, I might just as well forget about making this a camping preserve.
Not necessarily, Jim.
But between us, we've seen 8 snakes in one day. Who's going to want to hike and camp in a place like this?
Oh, we can get rid of the snakes.
Are you kidding? I've got 5,000 acres, Mark, and most of it woodland. How can we find them all, much less get rid of them?
We don't have to get rid of them, Jim. We'll fight fire with fire.
What do you mean?
Well, to be more exact, fight snake with snake. We'll import the most deadly enemy the Rattler has, the bull snake.
The bull snake?
That's right. It's a non-poisonous snake that bears about the same relationship to a rattler that a mongoose does to a cobra. They are deadly enemies, and whenever they meet, the bull snake always wins.
Yeah, you know, I saw a fight between them once. The bull grabbed the rattler behind the head, and he held on until the rattler was dead.
Right, Scotty. And another thing, Jim, the mere presence of a bull snake is enough to drive rattlers out of the area.
Well, you think it would work, Mark?
Oh, I'm sure it would. Come on, let's go back to the cabin and call the State Conservation Bureau. With any kind of a break, they should get the bull snakes here tomorrow. That's fine, sir. Much better than I hoped for. We'll be waiting for them. And thanks again. So long.
Well, Mark?
It's all set, Jim. The Bureau will send over the bull snakes this afternoon. And at cost, since you're going to turn the land into a hiking preserve.
Ah, that's wonderful, Mark.
It'll certainly save our necks.
But one thing, Jim. He was awfully surprised to hear there were rattlesnakes up here.
Yeah, so was Jim.
He said the closest any snakes were reported was about 30 miles below here. A place called Snake Hill. You know, Jim?
Sure. It's a piece of property owned by an old man, sort of a hermit, named Jed Miller.
Oh, I wonder.
What, Mark?
Just exactly what's happening that would make these snakes change their natural habitat.
Well, don't ask me. You're the naturalist, Mark.
Well, if they came from Snake Hill, all the land between here and there should have them, too.
It'd be easy enough to find out. We could call up our neighbors below us and ask if they'd notice any snakes.
Would it be too much trouble?
Well, is that important, Mark?
I don't know, Jim. Let's say it's my curiosity. Help me satisfy it, huh?
Okay. Mary and I'll start checking right away.
Hello, Mr. Stolfer. This is Mary Little. Jim and I were just wondering if you'd noticed any snakes on your property. Oh, you haven't? What's that? You've optioned it? Oh, I see. Thank you.
This is Jim Little, Mr. Crandall. Listen, about your property. Mary and I were wondering... Oh, you're dead? An option to whom? Mr. Davis, huh?
You sold your land, Mr. Johnson? Would you mind telling me if it was to a Mr. Davis? I see. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Well, Mr. Davis seems to be a pretty active dealer in real estate.
I don't get it, Mark. What's he buying and optioning land around here for?
Property around here certainly isn't valuable.
Not on the surface.
Maybe there's something going on that we don't know about.
Yeah, it looks like it, Scotty. Jim, would you make another phone call?
Sure, to whom?
This Miller who owns Snake Hill.
Oh, he wouldn't have a phone on the place, Mark.
We could drive down and talk to him, Jim.
Yeah, I'll get the car.
Suppose you and Scotty go, Jim. I want Mary to make some more phone calls.
All right.
Find out just how much Davis has bought around here. Maybe that'll give us some idea of what he's aiming at.
Okay, Mark.
Well, what do we ask Miller, Mark?
First, if he sold his place to Davis. If he has, then we'll try to find out if Davis has been artificially encouraging a mass snake migration to this property.
But why? I can't see.
That's something Mary and I will try to find out while you two are seeing Miller. Now, get going, eh?
That's it, Mark. Apparently the last person who optioned his property to Davis was Mr. Blair.
I thought so. All right, now, look at this map.
Yes?
I've shaded every piece of property that Davis has optioned.
What about it?
Now, look. It starts here in the south, near Wilkesville.
Uh-huh.
And it runs in a straight line up through this valley about 45 miles to the town of Beekman.
So?
Well, don't you see, Mary? There's no highway or railroad connecting these two towns. And Davis has bought up or optioned every piece of property except yours, along what would be the natural route. St. Mary.
Yes?
Has there ever been any talk about a highway or railroad being built along here?
A railroad? Oh, sure, for the last 30 years, but no one's paid any attention to it. Just one of those dreams that never come true.
I've got a hunch this one is. Give me that phone, Mary. I'm going to call the railroad in Wilkesville right now. Of course, Mr. Hood. Yes, I understand your reluctance to talk over the phone. We'll leave immediately. We should be in Wilkesville in about an hour. Right, see you then.
Are they building a road, Mark?
He wouldn't say over the phone, Mary, but he wants to see us about it.
Then there is something to it.
More than that, their offices were robbed a few weeks ago. The safe cracked, money and bonds stolen. But what upset them the most was that some confidential surveys had been disturbed.
Surveys?
Engineering surveys for a road bed. But what interests me most is that both of the thieves were seen in their getaway. And one of them, Mary, had red hair.
Mr. Davis?
That's a safe bet. Come on, we'll take my car, pick up Scotty and Jim on the way. And then, with the help of the Saybrook Railroad, put Mr. Red Davis in prison.
This is it, Scotty. Miller's place.
Huh? Not much more than a shack.
Not a very attractive one, either.
No.
That's why I took a slow driving down, so you could enjoy the real beauty of this country before seeing this eyesore. Oh, let me warn you, Scotty. Miller's kind of peculiar.
Well, I guess anyone would have to be who lives here.
Yeah.
Hey, look over there. A truck backed up against that hill.
Yeah. I wonder what... Oh, hello, Mr.
Wow, Mr. Little.
Mr. Davis, what are you doing here?
Not that it's any of your business, Sonny, but I happen to own this property.
You bought it from Miller?
Any law against that?
Maybe there is.
Come on, Scotty.
Wait a minute. What did the kid mean by that crack?
Our business was with Miller. We'll
You'll
talk...
You stay and listen to Red.
What?
A gun.
Lord, you didn't have to pull
they
a gun.
They were curious about the truck, Red. I think they suspect.
If they didn't before, they sure do now.
What's the difference? I've been thinking Mr. Little's widow would sell a lot sooner than he would.
Widow?
Look, Mr. Davis, I've got a pretty good idea what you've been trying to do. And so have other people.
What have I been trying to do?
Force Jim to sell his land by dumping snakes on it and making it useless for a hiking and camping preserve.
Good guess, kid.
See, Red, what did you think?
Stay
where you are, kid. This gun means business. Well, Red?
Your idea's a nice one, Claude.
And so simple. Because it takes just one little piece of lead to make a wife, a widow.
Slowly and surely, Claude raises his gun, his finger tightening on the trigger. Scotty and Jim back up until they reach the wall of the shack, until there is no further escape. And they tense themselves, waiting for the deadly shots. We'll continue in a moment, so keep listening.
Here it is, the whole story about that prize in every package of Kellogg's Pep. You know what the prize is? A statuette. Yeah, that's right. A brightly colored little statue of a cowboy, Indian, football, baseball, basketball player, or an animal of almost any description. Your box of Pep may contain any one of 18 different statuettes. Trade them with your friends. Collect them. Each toy figure has its own pedestal, so you can stand them in toy villages, move them around in games. Let them be passengers on toy trucks and trains. And remember, you don't have to send in a box top. Don't have to wait for your prize. And you don't have to pay a single penny extra. Just look inside a box of Pep and find your bright, colorful statuette wrapped in its own cellophane envelope. And about the same time you find your statuette, you'll also find a feast of flavor in every crisp, toasted flake of marvelous, malty-flavored Pep. So tell Mother to pick the package with P.E.P. on the front. P.E.P. for prize in every package. P.E.P. for Pep, the build-up wheat cereal. That's K. Kellogg's Pep.
Held at gunpoint in the shack near Snake Hill, Scotty and Jim Little wait for the shots that will blast them into oblivion. But as Claude's finger tightens around the trigger, his partner Red suddenly stops him.
Wait a minute, Claude. I got a better idea how to get rid of him.
What do you mean, better? This is foolproof.
Not from the law. It is in bodies with lead and to make the police ask questions. But if they were found in one of the caves on Snake Hill...
Hey, you've got something there.
Sure. Little and the kid stumbled into one of the caves. There's a lot of snakes that weren't careful. Too bad. Tragic accident.
Yes. We'd be in the clear. Okay, you two get moving.
Wait, Claude, look! Snakes!
What?
Under the window, two of them!
How in blazes did they get in
here? Never mind them now. Shoot them quick! Hit them, will you? Hit them!
I'm trying to...
You fool, can't you shoot straight? They're still coming!
Red... My gun's empty.
I'm getting out of here.
Not so fast, Red.
Hey.
Get him, Mark.
A pleasure.
I'll take care of this
man. No, no, no. Keep away from me.
Better look out for those snakes, Claude.
Let me out of here. Let me out.
Not until you confess, pal.
There's nothing to confess.
Then the snakes will make you talk.
No, no. We dumped them on Little's property, used ether on them, trucked them over to the forest.
Why?
The railroad they were going to run their line through. Little's property was on the right of way.
Uh-huh. And you wanted to hold up the railroad by getting options on all the property.
Yes, yes.
And you blew open the safe in the railroad office, too.
Yes, yes. Now let me out. No, snake! No!
Hey, what do you know? He fainted.
Mark, is that true?
About the railroad?
Yes, Jim. Mary and I just came from the railroad office. They told us all about it. And we met old Miller in town. He told us the sidewinders were out here, so I came out as fast as I could, figuring there might be some trouble.
My gosh, Mark. And our idea about the hiking preserve is ruined.
No, sir, Jim. They'll only cut through a narrow section. And they'll build underpasses for your trails.
Well, looks like we got rid of all the snakes for good.
Snakes? Great, Cecil, those two by the window. Kill them, Mark.
Easy, Jim, easy. They're a couple of bull snakes. They're harmless. Well, I threw them into the shack myself to distract Red and Claude.
What? Oh, well, they sure scared me.
Jim, I think besides helping you cut trail, Scotty and I better give you a couple of lessons in wildlife. You need them.
Mark, telegram for you.
Oh, thanks, Scotty.
Well, who's it from? What does it say?
Oh, give me a chance to read it, will you? Oh, it's from Cherry. She... Uh-oh. Start packing, Scotty. We've got to get back to Lost Forest.
Trouble, Mark?
Yeah, Scotty, a lot of trouble.
And on Wednesday, trouble becomes danger as Mark Trail learns that death comes in threes and fights the claws of the killer bear. Tune in, same time, same station on Wednesday, and find out what happens to Mark Trail! Battling the raging elements, fighting the savage wilderness, striking at the enemies of man and nature, one man's name resounds from snow-capped mountains down across the sun-baked plains, Mark Trail!
Remember to tune in then on Wednesday when Mark Trail will again be brought to you by the Build-Up Wheat Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
This program is entirely fictitious. The resemblance of any name, personality, or incident to an actual person or event is merely coincidental. This program came from New York. Mark Trail by Ed Dodd also appears in the comics of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and Sunday. Matt Crowley portrays Mark Trail and Ben Cooper is Scotty. Today's Mark Trail was written by Palmer Thompson, directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.